Now entering Nerdist.com.
It's the Nerdist Writers Panel on the Nerdist Podcast Channel. Ben Blacker talking writing with writers. Writers talking writing
can get pretty exciting.
The talk can be enlightening.
It's very rarely frightening.
Ben Blacker talking writing with writers.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming. Welcome to a very special Nerdist Writers Panel, which is the premiere of the new web series, Husbands. The Nerdist Writers Panel is an informal chat with professionals about the process and business of writing for television and writing in general. Let's get started right away. First, my name is Ben Blacker. You're right. I'm the moderator of the Nerdist Writers Panel and the co-creator of the Thrilling Adventure Hour, a stage show in the style of old-time radio. Yeah, it's really good. Check it out. For more information, go to thrillingadventurehour.com. I'm also currently a writer for the CW show Supernatural. Let's get right to this. I have comic books I'm going to give away. Because we're here at Nerdist Industries at Meltdown Comics, right? How about a round of applause for those guys? All right, that's enough. Enough messing around. Please welcome tonight's very special guests, who are the creators and stars of Husbands, Jane Espenson, Brad Cheeks-Bell, Jeff Greenstein, Sean Hemian, and Alessandra Torresani. Hi, guys. Thanks for being here, and thanks for sharing this awesome series with us.
Hi.
Please... How are you holding that microphone?
Like this, because I'm a singer.
Oh, my God.
No, I have to hold it like this.
Please, let's go down the line, and please introduce yourselves one at a time so the listeners... this will go out as a podcast, as part of the Nerdist Writer Series podcast, so they know who you all are.
I'm Jane Espenson, known from Buffy, Battlestar, Torchwood, Game of Thrones, Once Upon a Time, and Husbands.
I'm Cheeks, known from being Cheeks. In Husbands.
That's totes for reals.
It's true.
Yeah, tell these people where they can find more Cheeks.
They could go to YouTube and search Go Cheeks Go. Yeah.
And
have
do.
A plethora of music and comedy for you there.
Yeah, great stuff.
I'm Jeff Greenstein. You know me from Dream On, Friends, Will and Grace, Desperate Housewives, and the new web series Husbands. I'm the director and one of the executive producers of this entertainment machine.
Yay! And I'm Sean Hemian. I'm known from As the World Turns, True Blood, Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now Husbands. That's the first time I've seen Husbands. That was awesome. That was so good. Great job, guys.
Hi, I'm Alessandra Torresani. I was the first Cylon.
Yeah.
That's how people know me. I was also naked all over Los Angeles and New York with an apple. So yeah, hi. And now I'm on Husbands.
I don't know if it's been covered, but does everyone know the name of this web series?
September 13th, it comes out, too.
Yeah, and you should...
We'll get to it.
You always got a plug. You always got a plug.
This is coming out after that. Guys, let's kind of speed through the stuff you've already talked about. You know, it's you guys have done a lot of press, and it's all been sort of awesome stuff, because the story of how this came together is really interesting, and it started with the friendship between you two, didn't it?
Yeah, it started here. I went to YouTube, and I went to Go Cheeks Go, and I found Cheeks and thought, this is the funniest thing ever, and the first thing I saw of yours was the your funny diatribe against Miss California, and it was a marriage equality thing, which I had forgotten until recently. Like, that's why I wanted to reach out and meet you, because I thought that was so well done. So we met and started figuring out what we could work on together, and you had already written a script
This is like 2 years later, though.
Yeah.
We met and then hung out and talked, and we were just friends. And then one day we were like, why aren't we doing something together?
Exactly. And she.
So there had been no thought of doing something together before then?
My first
you were just an
was,
admirer?
I was an admirer, and my first thought was, oh, I can write roles for him. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of him as a performer. And it took a while before I went like, no, wait, you're a writer, too. Let's write something. And he had this great script, and it sort of evolved into this series.
Let's talk for a second before we talk about how all these other guys got involved, Cheeks, but about your writing background, because you did write your own material, right? That's all the internet stuff mm-hmm. that you've done.
Yeah.
And talk about that a little bit.
Let's see. I write in my journal, and I write text
which is also online.
And I did do writing in my videos, and I wrote and performed at Second City as well, so I did have some training there. I'd never really formally written a script. But I did have experience with that.
Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, you're sort of a scholar of early TV. Like, if I reference a Lucy episode or something, you not only know it, but can, like, quote jokes and stuff.
So yeah, I grew up watching, like, every sitcom ever made. They mm-hmm. kind of babysat me, All in the Family, and mm-hmm. I Love Lucy and all those classic sitcoms.
So when you set out the script that you got that turned into Husbands, this was an original script that you had done?
Yes, yeah.
And you set out to write this as a spec script?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about starting to do that. Because you're coming from sort of writing these very short pieces, right? Was it daunting for
sure,
you to try
like
to do something bigger?
No, because, because I have a lot to say.
Sure.
And, you know, the videos that I do tend to be 2 to 3 minutes, and that's how I sat down to write this, was in 2 to 3 minute chunks with tiny little arcs. So breaking it down like that was pretty easy, and before I knew it, I had 22 pages, and... Good
that's
go.
Great. Yeah. Good for you. And I'm going to delve a little deeper into Cheeks, the mystery that is Cheeks.
Deeper into the Cheeks. I like the sound of that. You haven't even bought me dinner yet.
But for do you want a drink?
I guess that'll do. But we're only getting to second base with that.
For right now, I'm going to say, Katie, we're going to edit this part out. I need you to put that away. Thank you. Now we're back. Have you always been a writer-performer? Have you known this is a thing that you wanted to do? Because you seem like a shrinking violet.
I know. I'm a wallflower, really. I don't know. Anyone's looking at me. I did, actually, and it was interesting because I didn't even remember until we were working on this script and I was growing more confident in my writing and my performing. I had a teacher tell me when I was a senior in high school, you're a good performer, but you're really the best when you do your own material. And he said, I would encourage you to go, you know, sort of like a Woody Allen route. And I guess I just filed that away in my brain and never thought about it again. Like, okay, whatever. I'm graduating. Bye. And then as I was doing this project, I thought, wait, somebody told me that one time. And it makes sense, I think. Yeah, because it's always something I've done and I like doing.
All right, let's move on. Jeff, how did you get involved with this project?
Well, Jane and I have been friends for years. We met through mutual friends who worked on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I was a big fan of her work, and Jane was actually on the staff of Jake in Progress, which I ran during its unaired second season. So we've been friends for a long time, and she first told me about this project and just said, would you like to read this script and give me your thoughts on it? I was aware of Cheeks because he had been in a kind of homegrown production that Jane had done, a stage play which took old Golden Girls scripts and recast them with guys. The Golden Guys, and I saw Cheeks in it playing the Blanche role. Am I correct in that?
Wait, let's talk about this for a second.
Okay.
Because I don't know that we've gotten to talk about this in public.
No, it's Blanche. Are you kidding me, Rose? Yeah.
But that was the first time I met you also, and you were so funny in this.
Oh, that's funny.
And the whole project.
We had met before, but you know.
we met at Thrilling Adventure.
Yeah,
it was the first
met,
time
like,
I
saw 3 years before that, actually. A few times.
Can someone get him some more wine? But that was the first time I got to see you perform. And it was unbelievable. Can we talk about that just very briefly? Because it feels like a very early stages version of what this finally what finally became this.
Yeah, that it never officially happened. We were putting together the production. We found out we didn't have the rights to it, so we were never able to stage it. So you did not see...
No, it was the first time I didn't see Cheeks perform.
No, that never occurred.
Right, that never occurred.
It certainly was not done at a famous writer-producer's house for an invited group of guests. That never occurred.
We can cut this out if you want.
No, it's all right. It's all right. It didn't happen, so it's
right,
fine.
Exactly. We can all agree.
But okay, so cone of silence on that, America. But I did see Cheeks perform for the first time, and I was really struck by his subtlety as a performer and how he had this great, wonderfully unforced approach to comedy, which reminded me of, I hope this is a compliment to you, Sean Hayes.
And you also have reference to Megan Mullally.
Sean Hayes is subtle? Is that what you just said?
Yes. Go with it.
And Megan Mullally.
Go with it. It's meant as a compliment.
I take it as that.
But we met for the first time then, though Cheeks doesn't remember that because it was just a blur of adulation and joy on that particular night. But anyway, as I said, I read an early draft of this script and gave Jane some thoughts on it. I thought it was really, really funny and a really fresh take on a romantic comedy premise. And I think the second time we talked about the script was at a barbecue place in Burbank. And Jane said, "Do you want to direct it?" And at the time, I had just started to move into directing, which is actually what I came out here to do for my glorious career in television comedy writing. And so I jumped at the chance, thinking that it would be kind of a shoestring production where I would like have one camera on my shoulder and we would be shooting in people's backyards and stuff. But it turned into a real live pilot, what you saw, which looks like a network TV show. And
better.
And I was, yeah, only better. Thank you. Thank you, Alessandra. Just like a network TV, only better. And so I was thrilled to be involved and had a great time doing it.
I think what's really impressive about this is that it genuinely does, like, the production value is so high. And from the way it looks to the actors who you guys got involved, besides Cheeks, Sean and Alessandra, tell us how you guys got involved.
You go.
Well, okay, I'll go. The part was written for her, basically.
No.
It was written for her. That's how she is in real life. I'm not. That's exactly how she is.
We find that hard to believe.
Except she's, yeah. So I was the one unknown, like the one person they had to find or audition, really. And
so there was an audition process.
Oh, yeah. I walked into a room on the other side of these three people and did the whole audition with Cheeks in the room in there. And you guys did it for like a month. And you looked at like thousands of headshots, and I like the way the story goes. They liked this one guy, so they were settled on this one guy. And then Cheeks had this feeling like he wanted to do the audition one more time and stretch it out. So Jeff asked his casting director for Desperate Housewives if he happened to know anybody that fit the description, and he said, "Oh yeah, I know this guy Sean. You should bring him in." And I happened to be the only I was the last person you auditioned from. Cheeks had a feeling, and I walk in, and I thought I was great. I had a really good feeling. About it, but I mean, with auditions, you never know. You could, you know, feel like you're the star of the world and walk out, and they think you're awful. So
and look at his pretty face.
It's sitting next to you, honey. I walked out feeling good, and how did you guys feel on that side of the door?
we knew you had it. You came in, you read for us. We knew you had it.
Jane emailed me like the next day. She's like, "I just couldn't wait. You have to." And I got right on the train because we did readings next the following week. We did pictures.
You had like
the following
a photo
week.
Shoot within days of
yeah,
being cast.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So it was quite the Hollywood story.
What did you what did you guys see in Sean that you responded to? Because he's so good in this. He's really so funny.
Yes.
Yes. Well, hey, hello.
Yeah.
There'll be a Q&A.
Save that for episode 2.
This happens to me all the time. Oh, wait.
We didn't We didn't even know. We didn't even know about the abs. We cast him with his shirt on. Yeah, it was just, he was funny and smart and intuitive and worked really well. There was chemistry with Cheeks right away. And so we're like, we have to have this guy. And then it wasn't till the photo shoot when I saw him changing shirts. And I said, my God, we've got a gold mine.
Okay, but yes, okay. But let me just say this in tribute to the man's craft and not just his work at the gym. I will say that when Sean, I mean, this, the bar for this part was very high. It was a very difficult part to cast because you needed to believe Brady is a guy who is a professional baseball player, okay? He convincingly passed as straight for many, many years and only came out about a year ago. And so you need to believe that this is a guy who kind of went through life and nobody asked too many questions and he kept his private life private. And then he went public with it. So that was challenging. So that, you know, there were a lot of challenges in that regard. And then on top of that, we needed someone whose comedic acts was very different from what Cheeks brings and what Alessandra brings. And there is a real kind of wonderful, I think of it as, don't get your hands.
Oh, here we go.
It's this Dick Van Dyke quality that he has that I find tremendously charming and a little bit kind of, he kind of stumbles over himself in this
honest.
Endearing way. And yeah, it's very honest and very endearing. And it was a great compliment to the very knowing, very verbal, very glib, very facile kind of thing that Cheeks does, which is also so funny. So that contrast was really important to us. And Jane's right. When he walked in, we just said, that's the guy.
Sean, what?
Thank you.
Yeah, it's sweet. What?
We should keep our microphones up because they've got to record it.
So yes.
What is your comedy background? Have you done much comedy?
I'm an IO alumni, so I have the improv background as well. Yeah, I love, and I get stuck doing the dramatic, romantic stuff. It's where people put me. And then for myself, I went to Improv Olympic and started working on their stage and just, I love this. And this came, and it feels very natural for me to be doing this, you know.
Terrific. And Alessandra, how did you get involved with these people?
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know here. No, so Jane obviously was the showrunner on Caprica. So that's how we bonded.
You guys aren't fans of that show, are you?
That's okay. We're over that show. We're on a new one.
They can still be fans.
They can still be fans. So that's how I met with Jane. And, you know, obviously I was playing this 15-year-old, you know, terrorist, killing
angry,
everyone.
Angry girl.
Miserable, angry teenager.
And you're actually in your mid-50s, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Great work. I'll give you my doctorate.
And great acting.
Great. It's great, right? Can't you tell the voice, though? That's what gives it away. That's the voice. But yeah, so I knew Jane and Sasha Royce, who I don't know if anyone knows, but why am I blanking on his character?
From Caprica.
That's really embarrassing. Sam Adama.
Sam Adama.
There we go. Yay! He did a... something that we did not do, right? That had nothing to do with the Golden Girls.
The thing that did not happen, he may have been Dorothy.
He might have been Dorothy.
And he was not hilarious.
Unbelievable. So he's my best friend. So he was like, oh my gosh, you have to come. It's going to be really funny. And Jane had always been talking about Cheeks. And so did one of our other executives, Tom Lieber. I'm going to give a shout out to Tom. He's going to be so uncomfortable. But we such huge fans. So I saw Cheeks perform and I was like, okay, that's my new best friend. Like, hello. And I stalked him afterwards. And I was like trying to think of things to say. I was like this nerd. Like, and I was like, oh my God, and this. And he's like, oh, you're so sweet. We'll hang out soon. I'm like, yeah, he's blowing me off.
Oh, really? I played it cool then because I remember when you came up to me, I was like, oh my God, it's like Christo. Oh my God. Okay, don't freak out. Oh yeah, no, yeah, you're on a show, right? Yeah, I think I've seen it once. I don't know.
Like, no big deal.
Cool, yeah, I'll call you. We'll hang out. I loved you.
Oh, I loved you too.
The moment I saw you on screen.
No, and then I saw his music video. They call me Cheeks, and then I must have sent it to everyone. I was like, they call me Cheeks, and that's Totes for Rails. And like, I really like tried to do it, and really sounded awful when I did it. But so anyway, so then we, you know, kind of bonded and decided to do a gay bowling video, like kind of a spoof video with Sasha, where we attack him. It's really funny because we're like these little things, like kicking ass to this like 6'4" giant. So it's really fun. But anyway, so we did that. We had a blast. And he kind of said, you know, we should really write something. And I mean, not write something. He writes something. And we acted together and do something. And so I said, oh, yeah, you know, let me know whenever you're available. I'm totally down to do it. No one ever thinks I can do comedy. And it's really the only thing that I do love doing. So then Jane and Cheeks, you know, hit me up. And they said, hey, you know, we have this thing if you want to do it. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And then it actually ended up being like kind of a big deal. And I was like, you guys actually want me involved? That's weird. Like, all right. So yeah, then history was made. You know?
What kind of comedy had you done in the past? Nothing. Or what were you, what
just
were you
life.
Into?
Life.
Are you a comedy fan?
It's literally my life. Like, I grew up being, my mother was so embarrassed. I was like a 5-year-old putting on, you know, skits from SNL. And my biggest role to this day in which I love is I got to play against David Spade in a movie called Lost and Found. And I got to call him a pussy. And my mom at 7 years old had explained to me what a pussy meant. hi, Mom. So, I mean, comedy's always been my life, but as I said before, and everyone knows me, I always do these deep dramatic roles. So when they wanted to do comedy, I was like, yes, I've done stand-up before. Like, I've done it. Like, I'd love to. You know, someone take me seriously. And it's funny because I actually wrote comedy off because I tested for one pilot this past season that was a comedy, and they told me I wasn't funny. And so I was like, fuck you. And then this came along. Like, oh, I was a bitch. You best believe it.
We should hand-deliver this show to them.
Yeah.
Just hand it off to them.
So then this came around. I was like, oh, my God. Am I, like, setting myself up for disaster? But how could I do disaster with their writing? You know what I mean? Anyone could do it. So it's great.
I have to find it very symbolic that on Caprica, this dark role, we dyed your hair so dark. I never even knew this is your natural hair color. Yeah. Is the blonde. Like, you light her. She's a madcap 1930s blonde. She's Judy Holliday. Yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This is what you were born to do.
I was born this way, baby.
Oh, do you guys like each other?
It's
any of
weird,
you?
Right?
Was it a happy set?
No, I hate
you. We all slept together. You guys had a...
Jeff? What I meant to say was... Okay, what happened was... No, the weekend we shot in the hotel, we had a slumber party weekend. That's what I meant to say.
That's adorable.
Well, because we shot it in a hotel, and so to make it real... They stayed in the same room. They had pizza. They were. This one goes to bed at like 9 o'clock. I'm like, what do you mean? That's when I fucking like wake up. Like, what are you talking about? But it was great. It was so cute. They're so cute. They're so in love. Listen, look at their chemistry. I mean, you can just tell their chemistry is just like it's undeniable.
Can we get real for a second though?
Oh, okay.
Listen. I want you guys to be honest, though. There were some dark times in the shooting of this, right?
Yes.
What were the most difficult? And I'd actually let's just go down the line.
There actually weren't dark times in the shoot. There were obstacles in the shooting. There were no dark times.
Well, I'm curious about, I say that obviously in jest. But what were the obstacles? What were the most difficult pieces for each of you in shooting, in writing, in acting, whatever it was?
The most difficult stuff has actually been in the last week when we realized that, like, we're getting ready to show this to people, and you start looking at it and going like, okay, are we just crazy? Do we just think it's good? You know,
what do you guys think?
Is it good?
I don't know. I think they genuinely like it.
We started getting scared, and we're like, whoa, what do we do? But that was the only time there was like real anxiety. Before that, it was just sort of humorous mishaps. Like, we were shooting the house that we shot in that you saw as Cheeks' house, was a house of some friends of mine who very thoughtfully put the cats away in the bathroom so that they wouldn't be like hopping into the shots. But now we had angry cats in a bathroom.
There was only one bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, so
it'd be in the middle of a really serious scene and you're... You know, like, we had just gotten over like not laughing at something, and then a cat would. Yeah, always
and,
the worst moments.
And the house was in the approach pattern for Burbank Airport. And there were some dogs. And I mean,
it's about 110 degrees.
Yeah, we couldn't have the air conditioner on. Yeah, because you hear it on the sound. So it was hot and full of cats, and it was a great house, and it served us well, and I thank our friends very, very much for the use of it. But that we actually did end up having to take turns going into the bathroom to sit with the cats. At one point, we had a journalist who was visiting the set, and we sent the journalist into the bathroom to sit with the cats.
This is a great story. No, it'll be a great story for you as a journalist. You go into the bathroom, see...
and you're going to tend the cats. You're going into the trenches.
Get a different point of view on the series. Exactly.
How did the cats feel?
Cheeks, what did you find difficult in the process? Because you were there from the beginning.
I found myself to be the most difficult part of the process.
How so?
Well, I just to what Jane was saying, everything was so easy, and this is great, this is fun, and oh, good, and then this last week, you know, I don't know, you know, if you're a creative person and there's that thing, you know, you've been working on it and then you're about to give it away and people, you know, you, all your blood, sweat and tears go into it, and then somebody can go, meh. And you're like, no, this took months. You can't just meh this and click away. So
I think you went to the wrong websites.
So I had sort of a mini implosion, a nuclear sort of, oh my God, what are we doing? We can't do this. Let's go back. Let's recut this. No. Are you sure we want to do this here? I don't think we can. Do we have time to reshoot anything? And it wasn't really justified exactly in anything that was there or not there. It was just nerves in my own brain. And so I spent about 2 days spiraling downward thinking that we can never do this.
Are you still there? Did you come out?
No, I found so much zen since then.
Good.
I have great friends that were able to talk me off a ledge. And I was giving a friend advice about something, and my other friend overheard me, and they were like, yeah, you want to take your own advice with what you're doing right now? I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
So don't read the YouTube comments or the
That wasn't even it. It was yeah, everything's been really positive and supportive.
Good.
It was all my own, you know, insecure creative neuroses, which always happens right before the curtain goes up. You've got that, you know, pit in your stomach where you're like, oh God, nobody's gonna like me, and then you're fine.
And you best believe those people that wrote the negative things, I've already hunted them down. I'm Italian, baby. I get shit done. Like, don't do it.
No,
you're a delicate flower.
In spite of the cats and the airplanes and so forth, the shoot was remarkably easy and fun.
How long was the shoot?
It was basically 4 days. We had a really fun. You guys should talk about the pre-shoot downtown.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in 1 second. But most of it was, we spent 2 days at this hotel in West LA shooting the Vegas scenes. And then we spent 2 days at Jane's friend's house shooting the domestic scenes. Mm-hmm. And then we had a little bit of time on like a kind of a small soundstage to shoot some scenes in a limousine that are in the middle of the show. But it was basically a 4-day shoot. I spent some time in the days and weeks leading up to that kind of rehearsing with the cast, who clicked as quickly as any cast I've ever seen, just in terms of gelling as a comedic unit. All I had to do was kind of get out of the way. And I walked through all the scenes with Ben Cantor, our DP, to kind of work out how everything, you know, the staging and everything was going to be shot, because I felt it was my job. I always think of, you know, as a director, you're like a guy with a candle in a windstorm, and your job is to kind of cup the flame and keep it from going out. And that was what I really tried to do, was to create a safe space in which these guys could play. And that's most of what I tried to do during those 4 days. Just keep it light and keep it moving. And you want to try it one more time? No problem. You got another good time. Don't worry about it. Ah, the cat meowed over your best take. Don't worry. There'll be another best take. That was really what I saw the lion's share of my job to be.
I mean, the most supportive director I think I've ever worked with.
Yeah, you did that job immaculately.
We're spoiled after this guy.
Thank you.
Did you, Sean and Alessandra, did you guys find any challenges in the roles you were playing?
You know what's challenging?
The craft services table.
That's really awkward that you just admitted that I like ate everything at craft services.
I was talking about me.
With your abs on.
No, I didn't eat the week before.
Like, you know what was the most awkward?
Shooting, what?
Like, what was really?
Do you want us to leave you guys alone?
No. But you asked a question. I'm going to answer. Like Snappy over there. is when we had to do this scene. Remember, because when I'm like, you taste like colors, the one that you guys just last saw.
I couldn't.
And for some reason, this one had the giggles, and he just couldn't stop. And so he'd have to stare at my forehead. But it was like really weird. He was like cross-eyed, and I'm like trying to take him seriously and trying to do the joke, and then it really wasn't that funny because I'm like, oh, are you watching me? And then I would look at him, and he started laughing, and this one's like trying to look at him. So it was that was the hardest thing, was just keeping not laughing the end, because that's all we kept doing was laughing. It was just unbelievable.
I like that. That's very, I like that.
It's honest. You went cross-eyed, and then I went to crabs. So that's kind of the basis.
Yeah, we don't like each other in the show, actually. It's funny that we're doing this.
Yeah.
But her line, "Tastes like colors," was the funniest thing to me I've ever heard in my entire life. And I could not look at her when she would say it. And I had to look over her, and it still didn't work. Down, I don't know.
And then we made it work. Lost it. We kind of like all lost it, the three of us together.
Yeah, it was too much. And then actually it made it into the final cut. There's a, when you cross back to the bar, you can see Sean kind of like... I love stuff like that.
Oh.
Tell us about this pre-shoot experience.
Yeah, we need one shot for a newscast where we actually see the wedding night they don't remember. And we needed to shoot it as close as we could to look like they're out on the Las Vegas Strip, like in their underpants with cheeks like piggybacked on the back of Sean and like in a bridal veil and not much else.
With one false eyelash hanging in the veil.
Yeah.
Silver underwear, cowboy boots.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, what are we going to find in LA that will double as the strip? And we thought of LA Live downtown. And it's like, okay, well, let's just get them all dressed up, dressed down, undressed, take them out there. And we'll just like guerrilla shoot it, because we're not going to get permission to shoot there from Staples.
And we should say for a second that like, for the most part, when you shot in the hotel and everything, you guys did get permission, which a lot of web series don't. You guys were a very legitimate, above-board shoot.
That's right. We had, like, production insurance and stuff. Like, we were so legit.
Yes.
But this was the one thing. This was the first thing we were shooting, and we had nothing. We were just going to show up, and we'd, like, brought all our friends to, like, come play the parts of paparazzi, because we wanted paparazzi in the frame. And so we showed up, and we were suddenly this group of, like, I don't know, 15 people, like, standing in a clump with a boom microphone.
Yeah, a big fuzzy boom mic, you know, and no matter what tourists do, they don't usually travel with a boom mic. So we kept saying, no, it's our friends, they just got married, we're doing their wedding
video. Yeah, I had this whole story. I was like, when security comes up, we'll tell them that we're eccentric and getting married and that this is our announcement video and it's not professional, it's for our friends and family.
Yeah.
With the boom mic. Yeah. And security was not buying it. They started just hovering. They wouldn't say anything, but they would just stand there. And sometimes they were on bikes, and there'd be a line of them on bicycles looking at us.
Yeah,
and
it was so like birds that start collecting them more and more. You'd look up and be like, oh, now there's five of them. Oh, there's 15 of them. Okay, back up slow.
So at one point we were like, break, just scatter, just scatter. And we all like,
we dispersed in different directions.
And then we were all texting, like, where are you? And we got back together, and we realized, like, if we stood at the edge of LA Live and sort of shot into it.
Right, we were on the public sidewalk.
Well,
so it was with LA Live as the background. And so though the security guys sort of made it very clear that we were not to cross a certain line, they did very nicely stay out of our shot and not hassle us and not, walkie-talkie over our lines and stuff. And so we got our shot and ran.
There are a couple takes where you can hear a guy going,
turn the camera off.
Move across the street.
Yeah.
But we got it. We got the shot.
It did definitely set the tempo for the shoot. Like, if we can pull this off, we can do anything. Yeah,
that was the first thing we did. And there were moments that night where I was like, you know what? maybe this just, I don't know. Where I was close to just saying, like, this clearly can't work. It can't be done.
Yeah, but my attitude was, no, we came here to do, we have a job to do. We're going to do it. Like, I was like, we're going to get out of here and get this shot. And we had our fantastic crew that Elizabeth Hughes, who's here tonight, our producer, assembled.
Yeah.
Give her a round of applause.
They rolled with it. And we just kept, and Nate Atchison, who was the second AD, I mean, everyone just kind of pulled together, and we did.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that crew for a minute? How did you find them? Because, again, it looks great. It sounds great.
Well, the first thing I asked Joss what to do, because he did Dr. Horrible. Yay! And he said, get a good line producer. So I contacted his Dr. Horrible line producer, who was like, I'm too busy. I can't do it. But you should call M. Elizabeth Hughes. So got Elizabeth. And then it turned out it was almost like buying a kit, because she came with the whole crew. So I didn't have to go like, I need an assistant cameraman. How do I find? Like, she knew these people. They'd like, I guess, all went to film school together. And so she arrived with the DP and with like all these camera people and sound people and stuff. And so we just had a crew at hand that were able to give us this. It was wonderful.
Jeff, you've directed network television.
I have.
How was this a different experience for you, or how did that experience prepare you for this one?
Well, I mean, it did, you know, as I said a moment ago, it did impress upon me the value of preparation. If in the course of directing a scene on Desperate Housewives, you suddenly decide, oh, wouldn't it be nice if Lynette was preparing dinner? You say, can we get, a pot of spaghetti and some boiling water in? And an entire prop department mobilizes. And an army of people make sure that you have the spaghetti and the pot and the water and the sauce. And this was not like that. Everything had to be figured out in advance. There was not a lot of room for deciding on the day, oh, wouldn't it be funny if he had coffee made during the scene? So part of the process for me was just during rehearsal and during the even during the final refinements of the script, to say, I remember talking to you at one point and say, can the guys have an action in here, like folding laundry or something, just so that I, you know, on the day, on the day is, of course, shorthand for when we actually shoot it, so that when we actually shoot it, we have anticipated just about every outcome. And again, it was about, like, I wanted these guys to feel like they could play. Mm-hmm. And so my job was to kind of create that play space for them and have as much figured out in advance so that they could. So that the invention that would happen on the day would be about performance and not about, where's the tongs? Yeah.
I'd actually be curious to hear, and Cheeks and probably Sean and Alessandro, you guys can speak to this, but what was that rehearsal process like? Were you up on your feet? Were you moving around? Because, the series could very well be talking heads, but it never feels static.
Sure, yeah, and I think that was something that all of us were on board with from the start, was action and movement and what's going to make this interesting. You know, there were times where we didn't want to stay in a room for more than a minute because we were like, let's find a reason for them to move.
Was that kind of thing discovered in rehearsal? Was it from the script?
It was a little bit of both. I think that we had that in mind when we were writing it, and then there were scenes that we didn't realize were quite as long as they were that took place in one setting that we got sort of inventive with during rehearsal. We had a couple of read-throughs. We had a read-through for ourselves, and then we had a public read-through and had some comedy writers there and polished the script a little bit more, and then had rehearsals. I guess we had one rehearsal for each scene.
Yeah, like the hotel room scenes, we checked into that hotel. So we had the room the way we checked in on a Friday afternoon so that we could shoot there all day Saturday and Sunday. So Friday night, we all went to the hotel and loaded everything in and rehearsed these guys in the tub, so that we had experience in that room.
But the one thing that, other than working out blocking and staging and cameras and so forth, the one thing that I actually found myself impressing on these guys during the rehearsal process was it quickly became clear that comedy was not going to be a problem. As a director, that's an incredible blessing, obviously, because you don't have to kind of explain to people how things are supposed to be funny. These guys, all three of them, have amazing comedic instincts. I would make contributions in places, but their first choices were so good that most of the time it was kind of, yes, that, do that. But the thing that I impressed upon them, I remember we had one round of one rehearsal at Cheek's apartment, and I said, don't let go of the emotion of the piece. And I think you even saw in that third episode that we showed you, it's a really funny show, but it has a lot of heart to it as well. And that was in the script, and I didn't want to shortchange those moments in the making of it. And I'd say, I remember saying to Sean at one point, let's don't rush this moment. Like, let's don't get out of this too fast. Because in addition to being very, very entertaining and very glib and very funny and having terrific punchlines, the show has a lot of warmth to it and a lot of heart. And I think you have to fall in love with these guys. You have to believe in their relationship. And you have to love this cast. And I always feel that it's those moments that make that happen. It was something that I saw happen during the first season of Will and Grace. We never had any shortage of glib, facile punchlines. But it was the occasional earned emotional moment that really made the people love them. And that's what I felt was really important to spotlight during rehearsal. Oh, you're like the best audience member of all time.
This is why I take her with me wherever I go. This is
so you're getting a comic book. A similar question, Jane, to what I asked Jeff, but you do have a background in comedy writing, and clearly as a television writer, you're used to collaboration. But tell us how that either prepared you or what the differences were between your previous experiences and working on this.
Husbands, the series we call it. there were ways in which it felt like coming back home, because it's been a long time since I've worked on a comedy. It, the last one I worked on was called Andy Barker PI, which was an Andy Richter half hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is short-lived but fondly remembered. And since then, I've done Battlestar and Game of Thrones and Torchwood. Which, and Torchwood's got a lot of fun in it, but also had, like, death camps, so it balances out. So it had been a while since I just sat down to write set a punch. And so that felt familiar, because it's sort of how I started. One of the first things I did in LA was write my Seinfeld specs that everybody had at the time. That part felt familiar, but it felt like a muscle I hadn't used in a long time. And I felt really, really fortunate to be writing with Cheeks, because there was a certain young freshness to his writing where he didn't feel like he was writing from TV examples as much as he is a historian of funny TV. It felt like he was writing from life. And so that I was working from the base he had laid down. And so that felt great and really easy. And I actually found that when I was writing bits, I was forging new territory. There were some bits that we needed, some new bits that weren't covered in his original script. And I found that I was working to capture his voice the same way I would as if I were working for Jeff on Jake in Progress. I would try to capture his voice. And that's like my favorite thing to do, is the chameleonship. So I was like, oh, this is great. I've got a voice that I love that I can emulate. So it really did feel very familiar. The breaking it into these little 2-minute chunks that could stand on their own, that was quite new. But other than that, it really like, I've done this before and I like it.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say that aspect of the script is fascinating to me. I mean, I've written a number of half-hour pilots, and they're very, very hard to write in their own right. But the idea of a pilot that can work as a 22-minute episode and also work as 11 2-minute episodes, that's like 3D crossword puzzle chess in hyperspace. It was amazing what they were able to do, and I think you saw in the few episodes you saw, they work as nice little bite-sized entertainments, but I think for those who tune in Tuesday, September 13th, and stay with
Husband
the
series.
HusbandTheSeries.com, you will see the wonderful story that these guys were able to unfold in the script over the entire half hour of the show. It's really wonderful.
I absolutely agree. I was lucky enough to read the script, and the characters just jumped off the page. I mean, it's exactly what you said. The Cheeks character, first of all, but you know your character. But the way you guys wrote these other characters were unbelievable, and then to be able to cast exactly the right people for them.
Well, we also rewrote Brady after we cast John.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we went in and we're like, we hadn't given Brady a ton of jokes in the first pass, because we're like, well, we know we got Cheeks. We're like, let's just lean into what we know we got that we know works. But after we cast Sean, we're like, okay, this guy has comedy chops. So we went and we actually gave him like a couple of your jokes. We just moved over to him.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I didn't.
No.
It's a comedy writing trick.
It did change the characterization, though, of some things. We noticed later, we were like, oh, well, that's not really his motivation, but he has that line now. We'll make it work.
But I did see that happen, because there's a scene you'll see in the second episode where Brady is just in a blind panic. And there is something so funny about Sean, like, I can't, I won't. It's just so funny. And so I think these guys started to write to that flustered quality. Yeah. And it's so, with a guy who...
Your side.
A guy who is so presentable, let us say.
Pretty.
There's something very endearing about seeing somebody presentable, undone like that. And it made him very funny. And it, as I said, gave him a comedic axe that was different from Cheeks.
Yeah. And we also just wrote new stuff out of, we started thinking more about Brady and what he'd been through as this baseball player coming out, and we sort of leaned into jokes that would come out of that, about how does he talk about his reputation, how does he think about this new situation, what is his attitude when Cheeks does something like bring home a tiny little dog,
tell us about this dog, couldn't make the panel tonight. But we'll do a separate Q&A with the dog.
Oh, I also want to say the other thing that I saw happen during the refinements of the script, and also even during the rehearsal process, was leaning into the insanity of the woman to my left. I was, I think America pre-September 13th, I was unaware of the comedic skills of this woman. Alessandra is so funny in exactly that sort of madcap screwball comedian kind of way, and things like you taste like colors. Those kind of completely off the wall, insane lines were so funny and yet so completely believable in her, you know, in her mouth. I mean, I'm just
that loony.
Yes. Yes. And that, you know, it's just like, let's let her be crazy, because it. And the other thing that came out that started to come on was the idea that that Haley is a little threatened by the intimacy between these guys, and is sort of in her small way eager to sabotage it.
Oh yeah, just wait.
So there are little moments where she kind of pokes at them in a really funny way, and it's kind of like, so where are you going to live? You know, questions they've never thought about asking themselves before, because she wants to be a little disruptive if she can.
Yeah, of course. Well, and I think she wants to be able to solve the problem. Like, oh, look at all these things you haven't thought of. Well, I know who you can come to for advice.
That's quite a balancing
act. My best friend, you know?
That's quite a balancing act for you to play. How did you do it? What were you thinking? What was your process?
This was written for me, so, you know, I take lots of pills and I drink and I just live my life. Let's just be honest. No, but you know what? But at the end of the day, you know what I mean? I did know him first. You know what I mean? So it was kind of like, oh, it was very new. Like, our relationship was very new. We had inside jokes that he didn't know yet, and... You know, so it's kind of, it's based off of some truth.
You could draw from your own experience.
But I love him. I never not loved him, you know. But Haley is not a fan. He is prettier than her and taller. I don't think so. No way. And what is this, baseball? I don't know. You know?
All right. I have many, many more questions. But we're going to turn it over to you guys.
Oh, this is fun, right?
Hi. Please recall... As I warn everyone every week, questions begin with a W or an H, not with an I. If you do have questions, will you make your way to the aisle, and I'll just walk over to you and you can
don't
ask yourself.
Don't be shy.
While you're doing that, I have sort of a nerdy question that I want to ask you guys.
Nerdy?
Nerdy.
Nerdy.
That's a different night here. My favorite line is batting rehearsal. That killed me. Does anyone want to take credit for it?
Was that you or me?
Was that you?
There's a funny story about that. You were saying that I know my voice. My friend was reading the script, who's an avid sports fan, and he said, "Dude, batting rehearsal?" And I said, "Continue reading." And he goes, "Oh, okay." And I was like, "Yeah, believe it or not, I know why I'm funny. Like, I know what I do. That, you know."
All right, questions from you guys. Oh, right here. Oh, listen. When you ask a question, hold on, you have to ask into this. When you ask a question, you'll get a copy of this Archie Comics spinoff featuring Kevin Keller, who is the first gay character in
Yay!
Archie Comics.
Bravo. Right? Yay. Fabulous.
That's progress. So here's your comic.
She's like, "I don't really want it."
Give it to someone else. And don't touch my microphone when you ask a question.
Okay, I'll be sure to cough on it. I noticed that that Sean had a line about coming from a Mormon family, being Mormon, and that's actually true to life, though. So was that improvised, or did you guys, I mean, did they know your background with that? Does America know your background with that?
You're a Mormon?
Yes.
He's a Mormon from Utah. Mormon.
That was a good question.
We added that line after we knew it.
Yeah.
And
the part was more and more written.
I was nervous because I didn't want to offend him, and I started typing it, and I was like, backspace.
No, let's go with it.
Let's see what he can do.
We want the show to work because we want that episode where my Mormon mother comes and visits husband Cheeks. Like, how fun would that be to have, like... I have the Mormon family.
Plus, you have Mormon brothers. Hello.
There you go. Yeah, right?
Let's be honest.
It's possible you don't know what Mormon means. other questions?
Wow.
Yes. Don't touch my microphone.
Is this a question from our friends at Streamin' Garage who are streaming this?
Oh, right they're
now?
Streaming it now.
They are streaming on Tuesday for our premiere. So if you go,
where do you go, Cheeks?
Don't bother. This is coming out Thursday.
Okay. Great.
I'll get to it at the end.
We tried.
This is a question from Twitter.
Who's she?
A hot lighter.
Oh my God, has anyone named their baby Twitter?
Cheeks?
I think we should adopt one and do it.
They wanted to know if Brady and Cheeks go out on a date, does Haley come over and watch Bo the dog?
Oh. Wow.
I think sex with Bo the dog? I mean, let's clarify. What does that mean? Okay. Like hanging out with Bo the dog?
Haley goes on the date.
Haley probably, well, she might follow in her car or or incessantly call, needing things. In fact, yes, she does, because that is her reason for interrupting the date again and again and again and again, is that she thinks there's a problem with Jack, the dog, every 5 minutes and wants an excuse. Well, what do I do now? I don't know. He's not eating. It's a problem.
I gave him a box of chocolates and it didn't calm him down.
Yeah.
It always works for her.
Right. So, sure.
That person, I guess, is working on a spec husband's episode.
Fan fiction. Which,
on the plus side, quick to read.
Yeah, exactly.
We should ask this question. I guess I'll ask it if you guys aren't going to. But what are the plans for this series? I mean, these episodes function as a pilot.
Right.
What would you guys like to see happen?
Well, if any of you represent television networks that are interested in purchasing said product, come talk to us after the show. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We sort of made it to sort of prove there's an audience for it, and we'll see if anyone notices.
Ow! Yeah.
Yay! Any more questions? Come over the aisle. No, come over here. Does anyone closer to me have a question?
I love what you're wearing. I can see you sparkling
so
back here.
I love it.
Wait, here's your comment.
Look at that hair. Jealous.
Don't touch my microphone.
From one to another.
Don't touch my microphone.
Mine's fake.
I can't listen to all these people at once. It's so hard.
Don't touch my microphone.
Okay, sorry. Okay. I wanted to know, scared of you.
I am too. Don't worry.
I wanted to know about the writing process. Like, you obviously, it sounds like it was talked about that Cheeks had a basic script and then you came in and worked together. So it was a script that was written as a 22-minute script and then you broke it up into 2 minutes. How did you deal with that?
Here's the thing that
amazed me. That's a good question. I'd like to hear more about the process. Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Good question.
Good one. Yeah.
Good question, spangly person.
Okay.
I'd like to hear about the process beyond that, too. How did you guys work physically?
Get this. Okay. We were at dinner and we came up with, okay, what if this was a young married couple instead of the original premise, which was a little different. And okay, we had our premise. Then, like, it's the end of dinner. Good night. Well, we'll talk about this again. Like, at 4 a.m, Cheeks has finished a script.
No.
And emails it to me. And it was already broken into 2-minute chunks. But it started with episode 3. Like, that was the only thing that was wrong with it.
I didn't know how to start it. I was like, well, here we are in the middle of, and then this is where we start. But
yeah, so it needed a 1 and a 2, and it needed, like, I don't know, like something moved. I moved some stuff around a little bit, but I wasn't changing a lot of the language because the language was so good. The jokes were so good. It was like just sort of structure stuff. But he had already broken into those 2-minute things. I was amazed. I couldn't understand how he did that because I thought that was going to be this huge stumbling block. And those same 2-minute chunks kind of stayed. We did a thing late in the process where we eliminated episode 4 and added episode 8, but that was fairly late. And so what I did was I took my pass through it. I added the 2 episodes at the front and then like did some restructuring, handed it back to you. And at that point, I think you either did another pass through it or you just pitched jokes. And it just sort of went back and forth like that, like a writing team does. But we were never physically writing together at a keyboard, going like, what's the next line?
I'm throwing my tennis ball.
It just shows how great they are.
We'll go to the next scene. We see Brady. Nah, that'll never work. Tearing paper out of the typewriter.
But some writing teams do that. Some writing teams do
That's
sit
crazy.
Side by side.
I can do that.
Inefficient writing teams do that.
Well, I like coming up with the ideas, and that's what we had done at dinner. I mean, there was so much material there. It was like, oh my God, and then this, and then of course this has to happen, and this is why they're doing this, and so I think that there was just so much juice there that, and I just loved the idea so much that I remember walking in the door and just sitting down and writing, and the next thing I knew it was 4 a.m, and I was like, well,
and you two have so many other ideas of where it could go. Yeah, I mean, they'll say one thing, and I'm like, huh? Where'd that come from? Like, so smart.
Yeah, Cheeks, you actually revealed something to me recently about...
Oh, I did. I wrote a second... Well, same thing. It starts at, like, episode 3. It starts in the middle.
But he's got the next adventure plan.
Yeah, I already have. I don't know if it's quite the second episode. I think
he has
maybe,
episode five.
Maybe it's like episode 4 or 5. Because there's probably some things you have to establish before we get to where it goes, but it's great. Oh, it's awesome.
We want to see Cheeks at a baseball game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to write.
Oh, my God. I met a professional baseball player recently, and I asked him and his wife all these questions about being a baseball bride and what do the wives do in the stands and what is it like backstage and what's it like in the locker room and what's the culture of the baseball we've got so much stuff to do.
Oh, yeah,
it's intense. Gonna be amazing.
Oh, yeah. We have time for a couple more. Yes. Twitter can hang on.
Thank you. I know telling us not to touch it makes us want to touch it more.
Want to touch it.
I had a question for Jeff.
Okay.
Is that what she said? Being a director, coming into someone else's project, another writer who is also the star, who is working, so closely from the, how do you come into that and direct that as a, maybe you're used to that, but it just seems like a weird thing.
Well, I kind of take off most of my writer hat, and I consider that it's my job to help kind of interpret what's on the page. And if I have questions about motivations or if I think that there are things that can be clarified or improved, I'm talking to the writer in a lot of cases. There were a few points during shooting where I remember there was a certain an end of an episode where we made an alteration on the stage because I thought we need a little zing at the end of this to tell us to stay tuned next week. So we changed the end of an episode, but that was based on sort of my kind of half writer instincts and half director instincts. But my job, I feel like, was to put across the script these guys wrote. I did not feel that it was my job to come to this as a writer and talk about how to reboot this or to go a different direction or here's what you should do or here's what you ought to do. I feel like I ought to come from the place of how do we grow this? How do we bring this to life? I hope I'm answering your question.
Yeah.
It's a collaborative medium. The thing I enjoy about working in television is how collaborative it is. And these guys, when I would go to them with a question or a clarification, everyone was always only too eager to say, we could do that. Or if I said, that line feels more, doesn't feel quite like Brady yet or something. They were always open to massaging the material where if need be. But my job primarily was to help these guys realize their performances, to get it on film in the most unobtrusive way possible, and like I said, to get out of the way. I wanted and to make it, to create that safe place where these guys can experiment. And it's been part of my education process as a director is learning to do that. We were actually talking about this at dinner just before we came over here. I have a very different affect as a writer. I'm very intense and I debate a lot and I'm incredibly argumentative and I gotta drive my freaking point home. And as a director, I'm very loose and I have a completely different tone of voice and everything is fine and I'm relaxed and that is not really who I am, in case you haven't been gleaned that from this conversation tonight. But it's something that I've had to learn because I think the best directors know how to kind of disengage and create that sense of safety. So that's what I'm still learning it. It's one of the things that's fun about this juncture in my career is that I get to keep learning things.
We have time for one more.
Oh, now come on, a few more. We can do it.
We'll do a few more. You're right. Come over here.
Hi.
Here's your
hello,
comment.
Pretty.
Hey. Hi, thank you. Was the purpose of making it 2-minute episodes just a teaser for, is it going to be every week? And is it plan to make it longer in the future, longer episodes, according to how many people are going to be watching? Or
I think whether or not we lengthen the individual episodes, if we were to continue on the web, would depend on the platform it was on. I knew that I wanted them to be that short because I have been making videos on the internet, and anything that exceeds 2.5 minutes just doesn't get the same amount of views. I mean, unless it's, Twilight related or some massive franchise. But I mean, the shorter, the more views you get. And I think that the more people are engaged, and I was fascinated by the challenge of, here's the information, we have to get them to like these people. There's all this stuff that has to happen in 120 seconds? That's 2 minutes, right? Okay.
Last time I checked.
And, that fascinates me. And that's
that's something that I think really, really works. And even as a pilot, when you're watching it all together, it helps keep the pacing going, because every 2 minutes, you know, even though you're watching something that's longer, you've got information being given and a new turn of events, and, you know, so it helps it move it along a lot quicker.
Yeah. How would you each describe husbands in 2 words?
Oh.
That might be a setup.
Well, I mean, that's easy. It's a romantic comedy. Comedy.
It's very good.
That's it. End of story.
All right, I have a question.
Oh, fresh might be a word. I'd say fresh.
Freshmantic comedy.
Freshmantic.
Is that Yiddish? We know, Cheeks, obviously you've created a lot of web content, but I wonder what the rest of you, your relationship with web content was, either as a creator or as a viewer. What did you like? Were you watching stuff online?
I watched The Guild. Mm-hmm. Felicia Day is amazing.
Do you guys care for that?
Yeah. Felicia gave us advice early on, some of which we took, some of which I saw her yesterday, and she was like, did you take that advice? And I was like, oh no, I forgot that one. But whatever. We're making our mistakes. But my main experience with the web was writing Battlestar Galactica webisodes, which I really loved. And I was like, oh, I've written this stuff for the web before. I remember you go into a big soundstage and there's a lot of people who are there to help you.
Wait, I think Jane won a Streamy Award for that, too. So, I mean, she's pretty well known on the web.
Right, baby.
Yeah.
That's like my only award. I don't have an Emmy, but I have 2 Streamies. I think 2 Streamies equals an Emmy, though. But yeah, so I had done that, but that turned out to be much more like real TV than this did. This felt like something very new and very different that I had to learn from the ground up. The maneuverability and speed of this was something quite new to me. And the grassrootsy, like, I'm at the Taco Bell drive through at 6 a.m. buying 20 burritos because I want everybody to have like a nice breakfast when they get to the set. Like,
she
didn't have
so
to do
sweet.
That at Battlestar.
I mean, I had no experience with web content other than as an occasional consumer of it prior to this. I mean, it's funny. I don't think of this as a web experience. I think of this as an independent filmmaking experience. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I went to sort of art school, and we were told when I was... It's a long story.
It's episode 2 of the Nerdist Writers
yes,
panel. You can hear
yes,
that story.
That's right, exactly.
It's
that's
on iTunes.
Reason to download it, exactly. But when I was in school, which was quite a while ago, we were told that eventually tools would come along that would put cameras and sound equipment of very high quality into the hands of young people so that they'd be able to make extraordinary independent films. And this was something that was just starting to happen in the late 80s when I was graduating from college. That has happened now. And the extraordinary thing that I learned in the process of making this was that if you have a great DP like Ben, and you have a great lighting crew like the one that Ben and Elizabeth assembled, and really good camera crew and so forth, that you can make something that looks as good as a network show.
If not better.
If not better. That was really...
Husbands.
That was... These guys are great. It's staying on message. I think, you know, and Jane and I talked about this a lot, you know, in the beginning, middle, and end of the making of this. It's completely opened my eyes to just a different way of being creative. What we do when we come up with an idea is we go to a network or we go to a studio hat in hand and we ask for permission to be creative. Mm-hmm. And there's something kind of wrong about that you have to get permission to be creative. And what we learned from this experience is you just can be creative.
You're here, Jeff.
And so the joy of this process and the great discovery of it is that you can just do that. I mean, if you have an extraordinary executive producer like Jane to make it all possible for you to do so.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I'm most grateful for, is seeing that whole possibility that was really not in my mind before.
Well, and I think that's an interesting point, Jeff, about being creative, is that so many people on the web are creative, and it takes them 14 minutes to be creative, and you don't really know what they're saying. And I think that we really bridge that gap, because television, ideally, is about entertainment. And with two people coming from that TV world and knowing how to entertain and please your audience, you know, and get in with the information and why we like storytelling, that sort of craft coming from television bridged with the internet format, I think was really the magic formula.
Do you guys want to talk about internet stuff?
Sure. Do you?
We can.
Mine's not sure what's happening.
Mine's a little. Just a few X-rated kind of.
Yeah.
We got creative in that way. I had to, I'll be honest, I had to ask Cheeks what a hashtag was.
This is the stuff we want to know.
You know. I mean, it was a fun episode. Like, I mean, a crash course in getting to know each other. He taught me how to use Twitter. And I mean, like, that's how I was a consumer.
At Comic-Con, yeah. Actually. He says, wait, I don't...
They're talking to
all
me.
All these people are talking to me, and I don't
know
who they are.
What's going on?
And I said, well, that's probably your at replies. And he said, what's an at reply? And I was like, you've been using Twitter for a week, and you know what that is?
That's my internet coverage.
That's very Brady.
Are you going to be able to Facebook?
Are you going to be able to find the series when it premieres?
No.
But Alessandra, you're very web literate. You have you're my only friend with a Tumblr.
Oh yeah, big deal.
I don't know. It seems very exotic.
No, the way the cool thing about it's very shishy, very like high tech.
Welcome to 2001, Jeff. Yeah.
Like I said, I went to school. We shot on film.
Ooh, I still
had
it.
Sci-Fi actually had me do a behind-the-scenes like kind of web series with Caprica, where I kind of hosted it and took my flip cam everywhere and did all that. And then Xbox asked me to do one. I was like, cool. Never saw it. It's been 2 years. Xbox had me do one for Comic-Con, and that was really exciting. And that's kind of how I first started in the business, is I was a television host. I was a kids club host, and it's my favorite thing to do. So yeah, I did that and did all this web stuff, and then I did stuff for Attack of the Show, which was kind of web stuff. And so I was like, I can have a YouTube channel, I can make dance videos, hey, like, let's do it. And then I was like, people are watching me, okay, hello. So that's kind of what happened. And then Cheeks is the one that really introduced me though to being a web series phenomenon.
Which he is.
Well, such an honor.
Yeah.
Do we have time for one more?
Oh, we have lots of time. For our fans, yes. Yeah,
probably just one more. I don't want to exhaust people.
Yeah. It better be a good one.
Yeah, the pressure's on. Look at him. Look at him. He's thinking about it. Is it a good question?
Yeah, right?
Hello. I was just wondering what your favorite item at the craft services table was.
Oh, God. This is so mortifying.
I can't think of a better question.
Just one?
The pizza day was amazing. What was that pizza? No,
Elizabeth.
Pit fire.
Pizza day.
Those are more horror stories for me. I don't want to talk about craft services anymore. I couldn't stop eating it. Let's do another question.
Let's discuss how she had donuts and croissants and little muffins. And like everyone's like, oh, I'll just have some celery sticks. And I'm like, bitch, move. I want all that shit. And so I ate it all.
This is how we bonded. We bonded over food.
We're like fat girls. And it's great, you know?
The very last day of shooting, we were trying to get those last few shots. And somebody brought in like a big thing of ice cream treats. Like bomb pops and stuff, and it was so cool. And we were so
I had more than one. It was so
yeah, it was so wonderful. Unless it was your close up. Thank you for bringing me all these amazing chocolatey things that I can't eat for another 2 hours. No, go enjoy. Elizabeth saved me some though, so that was nice for her.
My favorite treat. Oh,
I'm sorry. His wife has a bakery.
Unbelievable bakery.
Well
done. My favorite. I'm sorry. Let me answer the question now.
Oreo brownies.
The muffin donuts. Muffin donuts?
Donut muffins.
Muffin
donuts. Donut muffins.
Donut muffins. Yes. What's the name of that bakery?
That bakery is called Big Sugar Bake Shop. It's located
it
in Studio
again?
City at BigSugarBakeShop.com.
.com.
Well,
how could we forget?
Next week, right here in this space at 5 p.m. until 7 p.m., is the regular Nerdist Writers panel. Our guests will be the creators of Once Upon a Time,
nice.
Kitsis and Horowitz, as well as the creators of CW's Ringer. The week after that, we have Zach Whedon will be here. The creator of the U.S. version of Being Human, and someone else who's awesome.
Me?
Are you going to be
here?
I think
I'm doing stand-up.
Are you opening for us?
Yeah.
Oi.
Oi vey.
You know who's awesome? Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion.
Yes. Oh, that's right. He's our surprise guest on the show.
Guess what's not a surprise anymore?
Oops. Oops.
What?
Does Nathan Fillion know that?
Wait, was this one of those things that never happened?
No, never happened.
One of the episodes of Husbands will feature an appearance from Nathan Fillion. So.
Yeah.
Woo! We don't know which one.
You heard it here first.
Please give a round of applause for Jane Espenson, Brad Cheeks-Bell, Jeff Greenstein, Sean Hemian, and Alessandra Torres.
Hold on. Let's give a round of applause for this man for putting up with us.
Whatever his name is.
Thanks to everyone here in Nerdist Industries and Meltdown Comics, and to you. Good night.
Yay!
Now leaving Nerdist.com.